From the Danker Studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, an exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. I'm Roger McDonough. With Election Day, November 4th, now less than 2 months away, The Rundown is featuring occasional interviews with candidates for public office. Today, we're joined by former Saratoga Springs Mayor, Republican Mia Love, who's running to fill the 4th District seat in Congress that Democrat Jim Matheson is vacating at the end of this term.
Because after all, we are elected by people, and we need to remember that. Congress should remember that this is not, our world doesn't revolve around Washington. Washington should revolve around us.
That conversation and your top local headlines just ahead on The Rundown here on KCPW. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Coming up just ahead, a conversation with the Republican candidate for Utah's 4th District seat in Congress, Mia Love. First up, though, we have these headlines. Zion National Park has reopened after closing for several hours when heavy rain and a surging river made park routes impassable. Spokeswoman Ali Baltrus said Zion reopened park gates and roads late Tuesday afternoon. The park closed at midday after runoff from high canyon walls flooded some stretches of roads, while the rising river blocked other areas in narrow canyons. Baltrus says campgrounds were a safe distance away from the flooded areas and campers had been allowed to stay put. Monsoonal moisture and the remnants of Tropical Storm Norbert combined to pour rain over the southwest on Monday, washing out a stretch of Interstate 15 in Nevada between the towns of Glendale and Mesquite. Nevada transportation officials say that that section of the interstate could be closed for as many as 4 days. Meanwhile, a flood watch has been issued for Zion National Park and a large stretch of southern Utah through Tuesday night. One of Utah's largest resorts will open its slopes this upcoming ski season after agreeing to pay a $17.5 million bond that a judge said it must pay to stay open. Park City Mountain Resort spokesman Andy Miller said Tuesday that the resort has agreed to pay the money to ensure that it can open for a 51st straight season. The resort was in danger of closing this winter due to a long-running court battle with another major ski industry company. A judge ordered the resort evicted in May after ruling it missed a deadline to renew a bargain-rate, decades-old lease it got from a Utah mining company. Its new landlord, real estate company Talisker, last year lined up a replacement, Vail Resorts Incorporated, the country's largest ski resort operator. Mediation between the two sides is ongoing. A federal judge has decided to allow a lawsuit by Salt Lake Tribune supporters to proceed. U.S. District Judge Clark Wadups declined to dismiss the complaint, which alleges that a recent revision of the joint operating agreement between the Deseret News and the Salt Lake Tribune puts the Tribune at a critical disadvantage and violates antitrust law. Representatives from both the paper's owners were requesting that the case be thrown out. But Joan O'Brien of the Utah Newspaper Project, the group bringing the lawsuit to court, maintains that the truth must come out about an agreement that gave the Deseret News 70% of the shared print revenues. After Monday's hearing, she feels confident that Judge Wadups will rule in her group's favor.
He did have some harsh words for our side before he did rule that we're not completely up in the night. So I think he will come around to our position because once we are able to do some discovery and get to the bottom of this deal, I think we can show pretty well that the conduct of the defendants falls way outside of the protections that, you know, the Newspaper Preservation Act was supposed to provide.
Following the hearing, the Deseret News Publishing Company issued a statement calling the judge's decision, quote, the next step in a normal judicial process, unquote. The company asserted its commitment to protecting the viability of the Tribune, adding, quote, we respect the process and are confident that the outcome will reaffirm the legitimacy of the joint operating agreement and confirm that the lawsuit by the Utah Newspaper Project has no merit, unquote. And that does it for our summary of the day's top local headlines. I'm Roger McDonough. You're tuned into The Rundown. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. Election Day, November 4th, is now less than 2 months away, and up until then on the show, we are featuring periodic interviews with various candidates for public office. Recently, we sat down with the Democratic candidate for Utah's 4th District seat in Congress, Doug Owens. Today, we're joined by the Republican candidate for the 4th District, former Saratoga Springs mayor and past congressional contender, Mia Love. Mia Love, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Roger.
I'd like to begin, if I can, with a question about the role of money in politics.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012, the race between you and now outgoing Congressman Jim Matheson was mm-hmm. the most expensive that Utah has ever seen.
Mm, yeah.
Does money win elections, and should it be that way? Should money win elections?
Well, you know, I have a unique perspective because when I ran the race and Jim Matheson was my opponent, I had no money, no name recognition, and it was really difficult because we had all of these outside groups that came in to try and deceive Utah voters or pretty much say things that weren't really indicative of who I am and what I believe in and who we are in the state of Utah. So more than money, to me, it's outside groups that are coming in with their millions of dollars that set the tone. And I don't like it. We don't like negative campaigning here in Utah. We want to be able to have a good, positive, issues-oriented campaign so that we can make the best decisions. And I think that when you have people that are able to raise their own money and make sure that they're getting their own message out, it's a little bit more transparent that way because then you really get the messaging from the candidate as opposed to outside groups that are coming in.
I know that in that race, there was quite a bit of money that poured into both campaigns
from outside
from
groups.
Outside. And is that still going on? Is that kind of outside spending part of this race?
That's one of the reasons why I have gone out and we have raised money. Over 95% of our money has been raised from individual donors, many from inside the state. We're really proud that most of the people, our average donors inside the state of Utah, it's $15 that people have said, here's the little bit of money that I have. I want to help support you. But what that does is that allows people to go out, not only gain support from grassroots and people like us on the ground, it allows us to get our message out. And hopefully we can keep those outside groups out of Utah, keep the Washington politics outside of Utah and be able to get our message out.
You know, people worry about the money being spent on campaigns because of the influence that those groups could have down the line for elected officials. Is that something that you're concerned about? I realize that this is a lot of follow-up.
No. It's perfectly fine. And I think I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about this because I would rather get a message out that belongs to me that I could be held accountable for as opposed to somebody else coming out and getting a message out about an opponent that may seem like it's coming from me or about me that is not true. I am absolutely committed to making sure that I am running an issues-oriented campaign. I am not running a negative campaign at all. This is not about who I'm running against. It's about what I'm running for, and that is for the state of Utah and the people in the 4th District. We hold a higher standard. We have a higher standard than those in Washington, and I want to make sure that I make the people in the state of Utah proud of how I handle myself.
All right. I can hear a reform message in that. In that race, the race that you ran against Jim Matheson, you were narrowly defeated. This time around, you're ahead in the polls of likely voters, but your Democratic opponent says that the gap isn't, you know, insurmountable. How do you plan to maintain your lead in the polls in this race?
Again, this is not about who I'm running against. It's about what I'm running for. It doesn't matter what the polls say. When you come within 768 votes, you don't take anything for granted. We are out in the 4th District every single day, meeting with people, talking to them about the issues that really affect them, that they're most concerned about, validating the things that they're concerned about and their stories and how federal government has reached inside of their homes and is actually making decisions in their homes. So I love this part of campaigning, going out and meeting people. I love being here in the state of Utah. I chose to live in Utah, chose to raise my children in Utah because I found people who believe in the same things I do, in fiscal discipline, limited government, personal responsibility, and having compassion for others and doing what we can to make a positive change in our communities.
You know, I'm hearing that limited government message. There are a number of people who have gone to Washington with mm-hmm. the idea that government needs to be reined in. But still, you know, despite a wave of people going in on that message, the message continues to be that government is too intrusive. How do we know that the reformists who go to Washington don't get changed by Washington?
Well, I can here's what I can tell you. I believe that a great indicator of what's going to happen in future is what you've done in the past. In Saratoga Springs, I love being in municipal government because we didn't have R's and D's stamped on our foreheads. We had to make sure that we were working together to make sure that our city was financially viable, not just for the next 4 to 5 years, but the next 40 to 50 years. And you don't have the luxury, or should you, be able to look over to your council member and say, hey, by the way, tell me what your party affiliation is before, you know, they can offer anything positive. And I think Washington can learn something from that. When I talk about limited government, I'm not talking about getting rid of everything. I'm talking about things being applied at the appropriate levels. Because what we're trying to preserve here, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, is the America that we know. It's the communities that we live in, the schools that our kids go to, the potholes that we drive over every single day. And I think people should have the ability and the, I would say, the power to make decisions in their communities and in their homes that is reflective of what they want to see change. And the best way you can do that is get the decision making as close to people in their areas and the areas that they live in.
You know, you're referencing something that I think I was going to bring up anyways, which is that this isn't breaking news, but that every day we hear that Congress is broken, Democrats and Republicans can't, or it would seem that they can't seem to work together on a number of issues, and that often they're obstructing each other to win political points.
Yeah.
What do you think of that sort of political calculus that can dominate policymaking in Washington, especially in the House of Representatives right now? And how would you, you know, I know that you said no R's and D's stamped on your forehead at that level, but there is a sometimes a political liability of being seen to be working together.
Well, I'm willing to work with anyone. Anyone who has a good idea, you know, I think that we need more leaders that are coming forth with good ideas. One of the things that I've always said is that you can't change political policy without garnering public opinion. So instead of focusing on back rooms where deals are being made between members of Congress, it's important for us to make sure we get our message out to the American people, to bring people to come along with Utah and the things that we stand for. So I'm not planning on being one vote of 435. I'm planning on bringing as many people along with me as possible by getting our message out to the American public, which I think will at least change the opinions and the ideas of those members that are elected. Because after all, we are elected by people, and we need to remember that. Congress should remember that this is not, our world doesn't revolve around Washington. Washington should revolve around us.
You know, you mentioned the backroom deals, et cetera, and oftentimes people are accused of, you know, towing the line of their party. Is party politics playing a role here because both parties want to see, you know, majority in whichever chamber, and so they therefore are trying to you know, sort of obstruct each other from the party level, from the Republican and Democratic level?
Yes, I do see that, and I think that that's a result of government getting too big, and, you know, the party that's in power, people are trying to get more power for their political affiliations. And if we actually concentrated on people and what people want instead of and making people big and Washington smaller, we would actually see more policies reflective of what and the voices of the people heard instead of this party politics where people are butting heads and people are arguing just because they're on the other side of the fence.
I'm thinking of last year's battle over the Affordable Care Act and the government shutdown or Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that particular battle is over? Do you imagine that that battle will continue, the fight over Obamacare, over the Affordable Care Act, or is that a sort of done deal now? Or would
I think it's going to continue to be discussed as we listen to the voices of the people on the ground. You're seeing more and more people that are not happy with the way things have turned out with the ACA or the Affordable Care Act. It's one of those policies that was pushed through very quickly without the American public really knowing what was in the policy. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of members of Congress that passed the policy that didn't know what was in it. And gosh, at the very least, we should expect our representatives to read through policies before they make decisions, especially something that's that big and that affects our lives, our health care. It affects our economy. It affects everything.
Okay, what originally motivated you, or what is inspiring you now to run for the seat in Congress? I guess more simply, why are you running?
Well, it's interesting. I love that you asked. You know, the last election was so incredibly difficult. It's not like I woke up and said, "Whoo, that was fun. Let's go do that again." But I have to just a really quick story. I was sending my kids off to school in December, right before the Christmas break and right after the election. And I made them some school lunch and I sent them off. And my youngest said, "Mom, are you not running again? Is it over?" And I said, gosh, you don't want me to jump back into this thing. I just made you school lunch. I mean, it's awesome, right? And my daughter chimed in and said, well, Mom, you said this was about us. You said this wasn't about you. You said that this had to do with us achieving our opportunities and reaching our potential and being able to do well and then give back to our communities. Are you giving up on us? She said, I still want to build rockets. She wants to build rockets. It's one of the things that she wants to do. And I want to help her in any way that I possibly can. But they really opened my eyes to why I did it in the first place and why I continue to do it. It's about us as adults taking responsibility and making sure we're not leaving our kids with the burdens of the things that we've done. We want to make sure we give them every opportunity to be great and to do great things. One of the things my father told me is that on the first day of college, he said, Mia, your mother and I have done everything we could to get you here today. You're not going to be a burden to society. You're going to give back. I tell my kids the same thing. And the last thing I would ever want is for my children to come to me and say, Mom, we've done everything you've asked us to do. We weren't a burden to society. Society's left an impossible burden on us. You know, we as Americans have been great because we've always stood up and have always helped our fellow neighbors out. And we have to be able to make sure that we're not leaving our children a legacy of debt and dependency in order for them to thrive and to be able to give back to their community.
And your giving back to yeah. community is public service in government. That's,
yeah.
that's true. Kind of a philosophy of politics question here that I also posed to your opponent. How important is it to balance representing your constituents and also maintaining your own set of values? What if your views and the views of the constituents that you're representing yeah. Diverge on certain issues? Do you do what the voters want you to do? Do you do what you believe you should do yourself? How do you, you know, what if there is a discrepancy there?
That is a great question because I believe it's actually the principles of that question. It's all in one for me. It actually fits. In other words, I've made a promise to the people of the 4th District. I'm going to do everything I can to get the decision making as close to them as possible. The problem is when you have too many decisions that are made on a federal level that's further away from people, then you have to deal with those policies. And it's more of like a one size fits all instead of people being able to make decisions in their own homes and in their communities and in their states. So any decision I make will get the decision making as close to people as possible. Because again, like I said, the closer you get decision making to people, the more party lines go away.
So power at the local level, but I'm still thinking about that. You know, what if you differ with those people on the ground? Is there any kind of, you know, do you have to side with them, side with your own sort of conscience, or do you go to them and say,
I'm not going to Washington for myself. Let's be very clear. I'm not going to Washington for myself because if it were about me, I'd stay right where I am. I'm going to Washington to try and, again, push the decision-making as close to people as possible. So any policy that comes up, if it actually can be made in the hands of people and actually can, if I can push that decision-making as close to people as possible, that's where I'm going to go. And to me, in retrospect, that means that I'm actually going to be voting with people all the time because it's not about me. It's not about what I believe in. It's about the ability for people to make decisions.
Okay. We're kind of running low on time, and so I want to turn to a couple of sort of hot-button issues here in Utah right now. One of those is same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. Do you take a stance when it comes to marriage for Utah's gay couples?
I'll tell you right now, on a federal level, I think they should stay out of it. I believe that the government has got a lot of problems. There are a lot of things that we need to fix. We've got $17 trillion of debt. We deficit spend. We need to grow jobs. We need to allow people to become independent. And I believe that that's an area the federal government should stay out of.
I guess how does the government ignore it when they're being when there are, you know, court cases that are being brought to bear? And I mean, I guess on a more personal level, whether or not the government is with it, do you think that these couples should have the same rights that married couples have?
Well, you know, again, if you talk about it on a federal level, the only thing that actually would benefit one group over another would be the tax code. And if we actually simplify the tax code so that people are dealing with it individually, then that issue goes away. So again, these are areas that I think that the federal government should stay out of and fix some of the basic things that they're supposed to fix. We've got so many different things that we need to deal with. I mean, we've got immigration policy that is completely broken. We've got financial issues, economic issues, natural resource issues, military, foreign policy. Those are the things that federal government really needs to get a handle of. And I think that those debates that are happening on a state level are debates that should happen there. And again, I think I'm going to take that stance that federal government should stay out of it.
Okay, so but at a state level, I mean, you're arguing for sort of a local decision-making power over things like
And the reason why I do that is because, again, the closer we get the decision-making to people, the better off we are. I have more access. We all have more access to the members of House of Representatives in our state, the members of our state senators, than we do of the 535 members of Congress in Washington. And so, again, that's where you're going to see party affiliations start going away, because when we're actually dealing with things in our state and wondering what's best with our state, we could actually have discussions with our representatives that's closest to us. And I think that, you know, it sets a precedent that we are going to, again, make the decision here in the state of Utah, as opposed to having somebody in Washington that doesn't know who we are making decisions for us.
You know, it's tough, though, because I think there is a point at which state law and federal law collide, particularly on this issue. Mm-hmm. And some would say that this is about constitutional rights being upheld. What about in those instances where the federal constitution and the state constitution are at loggerheads, including on Amendment 3 here in the state of Utah, versus how rights are vested for same-sex couples?
Again, I am going to refer back to, I firmly believe that this is an area where federal government should stay out of it, because when you give federal government the ability to make decisions, they're not making decisions one way or the other. Those policies can change depending on who's in power. So we want to make sure that we're getting that decision-making close to us as possible.
Right? Okay. Another thing that we've seen.
So it might not go for us on one way or the other, right? We want to make sure that we preserve our rights as close as we possibly can. So that way we can affect change on a local level if that's what the state wants to do.
It's funny, because there will be discrepancy between states then.
There will be, but at least there people have choices in states. And when it comes to this country, I would hate for the country to make decisions that there's so many people on different ends of the spectrum here. I would hate for one decision to be made that would make a decision for someone.
Another hot button issue we've seen in the news quite a bit lately is the debate over who controls public lands in our state.
Yeah.
And also questions on conservation. Utah wants to take ownership of public lands from the federal government and has allies in the current delegation in Washington on this issue. Where do you stand in that debate, but also when it comes to environmental stewardship or use of public lands more generally?
I think that we should be incredibly diverse in our approach to lands. I think that we should take a multi-use approach when it comes to lands. I believe that we should preserve national parks. We should have national parks. We should have some areas that we preserve for wildlife. But I honestly understand, as a mayor and a council member, that having access to lands is incredibly important and improves the quality of life. Utah is huge and brings in $6.8 billion of revenue when it comes to outdoor recreation. As a matter of fact, we just did the outdoor recreation convention here in Salt Lake City. Right. And I think that it really increases the quality of life. It brings an economic value into our state. It brings people to our state. We should be able to enjoy the beautiful landscapes that we have to offer here. I think some lands should be preserved for energy and making sure that we're independent when it comes to having resources in energy. We want to make sure that we're competitive on the global market. It's actually one of the only sources of revenue we have that would actually take away the debt or bring down the debt. So I think that we need to take a very responsible approach and a multi-use approach when it comes to our lands. I also think that I would rather have the people that are living in this state making the decisions in this state when it comes to our lands, as opposed to, again, 535 members, which most of them have never even stepped foot in our state. Mm-hmm. I trust Utahns more than I trust people in Washington. I'll be completely frank with that.
Okay, so it sounds like you would side with the idea of Utah getting some control of federal lands.
But again, I want to make sure that I'm very clear that we should have national parks. We should have areas where we preserve for wildlife. It can't be an all or nothing. We have to be able to make the decisions and give Utahns as much access as possible to recreate. I love to camp. It's one of those times that I can actually get away from my cell phone and spend time with my family. We have such great lands here. It's one of the reasons why I started to run. It's because of our beautiful landscapes. I want to be able to continue to enjoy that.
Finally, tell us something maybe about yourself that our listeners wouldn't be aware of, a hobby or an activity you're involved in, something maybe that we don't know about you.
Oh, wow. I thought everyone knew everything about me. Well, I run. I started oil painting for about 3 months until I got back into campaigning, and I actually like it. Let's see. I've also done some musicals with the Hale Center Theater. I did Nonsense when I was 9 months pregnant. So I was a nine-month pregnant nun. So I did Nonsense and Kiss Me Kate with the Hale Center Theater, and I've enjoyed my time.
Former Saratoga Springs Mayor Mia Love is running for Congress on the Republican ticket in Utah's 4th Congressional District. Mia Love, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, no problem. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Roger.
I'm Roger McDonough, and you are tuned into The Rundown. We'll be right back. And thanks once more for tuning in this afternoon. Our show was produced by yours truly, with additional help from Ryan Cunningham and Lauren Colucci. Our theme music was composed by Tim Myers. Tomorrow on the show, tune in for a conversation with Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes, who's running to keep the seat he was appointed to. I'm Roger McDonough. Thanks for tuning in. The Utah Business Report and Marketplace are coming up next.